We did start last week learning about where this family of prophets began. They pretty much literally began with the birth of Samuel. We learned a little bit about the surroundings of that, how he was essentially birthed and raised in an atmosphere of worship, just praise and adoration to God himself. We're also reminded of who we are, right? When you put your faith in Jesus, Jesus gave the analogy that he's the good shepherd and you're his sheep. And he says that you hear his voice. Okay, so this message is kind of it's kind of mislabeled. You already hear the voice of God. What we're learning this morning is really how to discern it, how to recognize it. God's already speaking to you. He's been speaking to you your whole life. And especially the moment that you put your faith in Christ, I mean, everything changed. We're going to learn about that. You're hearing his voice. This morning what we're learning is just how to really recognize it and how to discern it when he does speak. You hear, you recognize the voice of God. You do. Jesus said it, and he doesn't lie. Last time I checked, you know. Man, if he lies, I'm wasting my life, you know. Let's go party hard. I mean, you know, why not? Just, you know, live for today. But we were challenged at the end of last week, sort of as a preface for this week, to create an altar in your life. We learned about altars, you know, and it could be absolutely anything, any place, anytime, anywhere. What an altar is just a place and a time set apart to meet with God, a time and a place set apart to really seek after him and to chase after him. So we're challenged to do that in our own lives, to seek and to hear God's voice. And so this week, we're learning sort of how to hear, how to discern, how to recognize the voice of God, practically speaking from Samuel's life. We start off with the understanding that God is a creative God who created you. He is very creative. I don't know where we get this religious attitude and spirit about God, about how you have to approach God in this way. You just have to. It's the only way. God's a creative God. And when you even look through his word from cover to cover, he reached out to his people in creative ways. He got their attention in some very, very creative ways, things I would have never even imagined or dreamed up, you know? And so the way that he will speak to you and the way that he'll speak to me, it'll vary from person to person because we're different people. We hear God differently. It takes different things to get our attention, right? You know, you think about this even, you know, being raised up in the school, you know? I mean, for some kids like Megan, she's a rule follower. You tell her the rules of the classroom, she'll never vary from them. And if she does, she will cry and confess and beat herself up without the teacher ever having discipline. Some of y'all, you know, you're class clowns, and you know where that boundary is, and you're way over it, like, hey, I'm over here, you know? And it takes something different to get your attention, right? So, you know, for us to understand, you know, why. And anyways, I kind of digress here. But there are some common ways that God speaks to us. I can't throw out the first one, because it is the most critical number one thing, and it's the one that you expected to hear. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on it. The Bible, right? God speaks to us through the scriptures. Where am I at here? Yeah. I get ahead of myself. Yes, I'm going to go there and then I'll go back. I'm all over the place this morning. It's going to be good. A good place to start is in the written word of God. I mean, it was written by, about 40 different men over a course of hundreds of years, thousands of years, actually. You know, I mean, there's all these statistics about it. Yet it carries one common message. It is tried and true. It is people saying, this is what God told me, and it was tested and proven. So the other thing about God is that when he speaks, he's not a liar. He's not going to contradict himself. You know, he doesn't speak out both sides of his mouth like, you know, politicians of the day, right? He doesn't tell you what you want to hear and you what you want to hear, and they're completely contradictory. It's just not how God operates. So his written word is a good place. We call it authoritative. You know, it's a good place to check, am I really hearing God's voice? Now, there are some discrepancies in that. I'm going to say this, right? For example, this is way an extreme case and measure, but would God ever want you to cut somebody up into 12 pieces and then ship them off? Well, God had somebody do that in the Bible. So, I mean, you know, God's God, and that's just gross, and it's an extreme example. My wife's like, why'd you have to use that one? Like, seriously? It happened, okay? But generally speaking, we get to know the character, the nature of God, so that you can learn how to hear his voice. It's the same way you get to know somebody personally, and you'll recognize and hear their voice. Whatever God speaks to you, it's going to be in harmony with his word, and that's evidenced through the New Testament. Whenever Jesus was walking in the face of the earth, and even the new church, when they would hear the voice of God, they would often reference the Old Testament, their scriptures. as we reference the New Testament, you know, and consider it to be authoritative even today. It confirmed what God had already spoken. The Bible teaches us how to better discern and recognize the voice of God because we learn about his character and his ways. We learn about how he spoke to people in the past. And we start reading about those testimonies of people who had personal encounters with him. And we can be like, oh, that's just what happened to me. Like, that's so cool, you know? God's word, it says it is alive and active. Why? Because the author of that book is alive and active. And so he will speak to you through it. It can be his voice to you. And many, many times it will. That's why I stand up here and preach from it, right? You know, it's the authoritative word of God. It's alive and active. It is still shaping and transforming people's lives today because the author is still alive and speaking and moving today. There's also a lot of other resources that you can go to learn how to hear God's voice. There's, you know, in our culture today, I mean, there's teachers and there's, you know, MP3 lessons, there's books, there's seminars, there's conferences, you name it. All kinds of resources to learn how to hear the voice of God. But in all honesty, what I'm kind of going back to this morning, I think we overthink it. And I think that's what God wants to bring us back to is the simplicity of hearing his voice. Now, we said that God is a creative God and he speaks in creative ways. From his own word, his written word, some of the ways that he spoke to people was, first of all, through an audible voice, as he did with Samuel. And that's the way we all want to hear the voice of God. We all want to hear, you know, hey, Beck, my child, you're sexy and I love you. You know what I mean? I don't know if God would say that, but that's what I would say. But I mean, we want to hear that Charles Heston booming voice. We want to hear externally, right? We want to hear the voice of God in that way, and he does speak to us that way. He speaks through dreams and visions very often. Dreams, you're asleep. Visions, you're awake. It's still the same thing. You're seeing visually in your imagination, not in reality. You're seeing in your imagination, you know, these things taking place. God spoke through a donkey. It's like the original cartoon, a talking donkey. I mean, come on, he's a creative God, and that's exactly what he did. He spoke through a burning bush, right, that didn't really burn up. He spoke through impressions, just through gut feelings, you know. Somebody just heard the voice of the Lord that way. He speaks through nature, the things that he created. He spoke through angelic visitations. He spoke through his written word. He even wrote on a wall one time, you know. Remember trying to break our toddlers of doing that? And here God is himself writing on a wall, right? He did. He literally, his written word, he wrote it there. He speaks through other people. He speaks through circumstances. He even spoke through, everybody loves their fleece blankets come wintertime apparently, right? I mean, you can buy them everywhere. You know, he even spoke through a dry or a wet fleece blanket, right? That's how he spoke. I mean, and he could go on, I could probably go on the whole rest of the time talking about different ways, biblically speaking, in his word, that he spoke to people. The point is, he's a creative God. He will speak to you in a way that you will understand. He doesn't want to speak mystery so that you're clueless about it. He wants to speak in a way that you will understand, that you will hear, and that you will, you know, be able to run with. God is always speaking, and he's always doing so in countless ways. And so this morning, the point is not how he speaks. The point is that we're hearing it. We're hearing it. And that's what we're going to learn about practically speaking. So what God's recommending us this morning is to go back to the simplicity of discerning and recognizing his voice, because we always have a tendency to beat ourselves up, to make it so complicated when it is so, so simple. Hearing God's voice, and Janet shared this with Becky last week because she knew she's going to be out of the service, you know. Here's the difference. All of us want that external voice of God. We want that literal audible voice that you just know it's him. Do you know why God so often used that method to speak in the Old Testament? Because the infilling of the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. We're living in a distinct point of time where God distinctly speaks to us differently. Old Testament, the Spirit would come on people. New Testament, after the death and resurrection, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So God lives in us now, right? And did you realize that your ears, they really don't serve much of a purpose for what's happening inside of you, do they? One time I had really bad ear infections and my eardrums burst. All I could hear what was inside of my body. I could hear my heart throbbing day and night. I could hear myself breathing. Oh my gosh, you could hear. You want to talk about being annoyed with hearing chewing? I could hear myself chewing. And the doctor did this. He took this tuning fork and he hit it and he put it up to my ears. I couldn't hear a thing. He touched it on my forehead and I'm like, ah! Like I cringed. It was so loud because it's vibrating my bone and that's what I was hearing. Like just somehow the way your inner ear works, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit dwells within you personally, intimately. You know, if he speaks from within in an audible voice, it's going to be like, you know, it's like your wife across the house whenever she's asking you to do something, right? You're not going to hear it. You're not going to understand. I mean, this is, I might be over practically stating things, but it is a reality. Will God speak to you in an audible voice? Absolutely, he can and will. But more often than not, he speaks to us internally. It's not the ears on our head that need to hear, it's the ears of our hearts. And that was the testimony that Jan had. She was so defeated and frustrated because she wasn't hearing God's voice, and they're teaching and preaching that you can, and she's just getting frustrated. And then she had that revelation that it wasn't her physical ears that were needed training, it was the ears of her heart that she heard the voice of God, and then that changed everything. Then you can discern it and hear it and understand it. Reality is hearing God's voice is really no different than hearing and recognizing my own voice. I have a very distinct voice, and I hate it. I really do. I can't stand hearing myself. I'm nasally, and, you know, the kids in school would say I was gay and stuff, you know, apparently because of the way my voice, I don't know, but anyways, I told junior prom, and nobody questioning things then, yeah. I'll tell you that story down the road. Are there any kids in? Yeah, anyways, fun times. Where was I even going with that? I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. I shouldn't preach on Sunday mornings and I've been up all night. Anyways, he speaks to us internally and we learn to hear and to discern and to understand with the ears and eyes and smells and all these senses with our heart internally. That's where he dwells. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. I mean, he lives literally with you. You don't have to go into the inner courts of the temple to have an encounter of the presence of God. God chose for you to be the temple and for you to be the inner courts. Like he poured his spirit, his very presence out in you. It's just what the Bible teaches us. It's the reality of how you live. So hearing God, it is just as much a matter of our heart as it is hearing with our other five senses. There's a good reason that the first of God's two essential commands is to first, what? Love him with all of our, what? Heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our everything. Our heart, our mind, our soul. Those things are all internal. Those things are, they're expressed externally, but they start inside, don't they? The same way with sin. Sin may show itself externally, some sins more obvious than others, but it always begins internally with that temptation. The battle's always internal, and that's where God speaks. So the first command is all internal, our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. A divided heart will prove to be a hindrance, not of whether God's speaking to you or not, but of whether you really want to hear him. That's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start spiritual before I go practical. Do you really want to hear what God has to say? You know, let's be honest. In Acts chapter 28, starting verse 25, it says this. And again, this is New Testament quoting Old Testament. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth. Because the Holy Spirit speaks truth, and sometimes we don't want to hear truth. Let's just be honest, right? That's why y'all love watching the news channels, because you want to hear the dirt on everybody else, right? You don't really want to hear the truth and just the facts. Those aren't fun. Facts aren't fun. But man, opinions about facts, those get you going, don't they, right? The Holy Spirit spoke truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah. Again, he spoke through a person this time. He spoke to Isaiah. He physically heard him. And then he spoke through Isaiah. He spoke to other people. And this happened in Isaiah chapter 6. This is what he's quoting. In verse 26, it says, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused." And Lord, forgive us if that's us sitting here this morning. Forgive us for saying we want to hear you, we want to see you, and then having a calloused heart towards people and a calloused heart towards you. It says they hardly hear with their ears. They'd have closed eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Sometimes your healing is that far away, your head to your heart. The question isn't whether God is speaking to us. The question is whether we're hearing it, whether we want to hear it, whether we're perceiving it. Unfortunately, I still think that this prophetic word of Isaiah to the nation of Israel, it's still just as true from God to the people of God today in the church. Our hearts are calloused. We're hardened towards people. We're hardened toward God, even if we're going to be honest with each other. In some area, you are. And you always hear, but you never really hear. You don't never really listen. You see God moving, but you don't really perceive it. This morning, that's what we want to change. We want to be a people who understand and perceive and discern God and when He moves. Yes, God uses our five physical senses to speak to us, but we primarily hear through the ears of our heart and the eyes of our heart. God is speaking, but do we really desire to hear what He has to say? It has to start there. Believe me, you know, in a practical sense, my wife can talk to me till I'm blue in the face, but if I don't want to hear it, I'm not listening, am I? And I'm not going to change anything, am I? It's no different with God Himself. If you don't really want to hear it, and you don't really plan on doing anything with it, it's not that He's not speaking. It's just that you're not listening. You don't want to hear what He has to say. You got your fingers in your ears, and you're living your life the way you want to, and you really don't want to hear anything otherwise, right? So we can't say that God's not speaking to us ever. Samuel heard the voice of God, but he didn't recognize who it was. Sometimes it's just a matter, we're just not trained. We just don't know how to discern the voice of God. Hopefully you can't say that after this morning. Samuel first needed to be trained, and he needed to want to hear what God had to say. And so before we get into the practical, and before we get too spiritual, here's just a real-life practical example and a situation that helps us to understand this. Hearing, but not really understanding. Hearing, and not really wanting to hear. Because more often than not, we view our Heavenly Father through our natural fathers. We see Him the way that we see them. And it's not that you want to do that, but it's just something that happens. I see it happen over and over and over again. If you had an unhealthy relationship with your natural father, or he was absent or didn't care or whatever, you transfer those things over to your Heavenly Father. And it's not fair, because that's not who He is, right? But how often did this happen? You made a dumb decision, right? I remember first time I wrecked my truck, you know, and you know you got to tell Dad, or you got to tell Mom, or whoever your guardians were. You had to tell them. You knew exactly what they're going to say, and you did not want to hear it, right? I mean, how many times? We've all had experiences like that, right? Are you done? The boss tells you don't do something that way, you do it that way, and what he said would happen, happened. But now you're done, and I, you know, yeah, you said not to hook it up this way, well, I did, and yeah, it didn't end well, right? You know what they're going to say, and you know you have to confess it, but you just don't want to hear what they have to say, right? Maybe you've had an experience like that. In all honesty, sometimes we're like this with God.
The last thing that I want to hear is what I'm fixing to hear. The I told you so from my mom, and I'm going to get the what are you thinking from my dad.
No, we went out there enjoying the day. We're going to get some crawfish.
Where are they at? I'm hungry for a good mess of crawfish.
Well, we took that boat you had out there.
Yeah.
And one of these boys forgot to put the plug in it.
Do what?
We buried that boat and the motor and all the gear.
What did I tell you about you tearing up things?
We didn't tear it up. We sunk it.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. It's just at the bottom.
Y'all been riding in boats your whole life. I mean, I can't believe you sunk it right there where you're talking about.
When something crazy happens, my dad then feels like he needs to give you a lecture on why the plug is important to the boat. And you got to sit there and listen because you sunk it. And it's his boat.
Y'all didn't even check to see if there's a plug in the boat?
No.
Oh, good night of living. Chase.
This would be like giving me the birds and bees speech for my 20-year anniversary. I got that. I have three kids. I figured it out.
What do they sound like right
now? They sound like city slickers to me. I mean, you know, good night.
You take a boat and you shove it off and get in it without a plug in it, and you got two 375-pounders with you. It's like a house cat who gets his tail caught in a fan. It won't be long now.
Well, did I own anything that was in the boat?
You owned everything in the boat.
Yeah, and you can imagine how that conversation continued, right? Sometimes we're like that with God. We know what he's going to say. We just don't want to hear it, right? Right? Yeah, exactly. Here's what I want to challenge you with this morning, because we all feel that way from time to time. I want to kind of give you this advice. If you already know it, God's probably not going to remind you of it. I mean, you know, he's not going to tell you what you already know. You're already beating yourself up and feeling guilty. Do you know what the Heavenly Father has a tendency to do when you're in that place? You know you screwed up and you're going to him. He just wraps you in a hug and says, you know what, you're forgiven. Let's make this right. Unlike our earthly father so often, right? Just kind of remind you about it forever. Every time you go to take that boat out, don't forget the plug, right? Isn't that what we do? Trust me, I'm a father too, and yeah, been there. I've also been in Katanning on the Allegheny and forgot to put the plug in the boat. Yeah, that little bilge pump, forget about it. Like, anyways, bad stuff. But I want to encourage you this morning, if you've messed up and you go to your Heavenly Father, sometimes we're resistant to do that. We're hesitant to do that. We don't want to hear God's voice because the voice that we're hearing is our sin and our mess up and our screw up. And we just don't want to hear that again. We don't want to hear how badly we've missed it. In my experiences with the Heavenly Father, he doesn't do that. You already know it. You already feel the weight and the consequence of your sin. He's not going to rub it in your face and remind you of it forever. He's going to actually take it from you. He's going to be like, okay, now let's get moving. Let's go from here, right? He's got a good word. He's not going to just give you the I told you speech. So the first step in hearing God's voice, spiritually before the practical, is to come before God with a sincere heart. You have to actually want to hear God's voice. You have to actually desire what he has to say. Otherwise, all the practical stuff's just going to be irrelevant. You're not going to hear it. You're not going to want to, you're not going to discern his voice. Sin separates us from God, but only if we choose to hold on to it instead of giving it to him. That's the only way it's going to keep you separated. Trust me, he doesn't run away scared of sin. Look at the garden. He came pursuing Adam and Eve in their sin. It did not scare him off. It is not like a disease to him. When you're in your mess, that's when he loves you the most and wants you to pull you out of it and clean you up, okay? So don't let anything stand before you and God, because he paid it all. He made sure there is nothing in a spiritual sense that can keep you from him except for your own hard-heartedness and boneheadedness, right? The only thing that can keep you from God is you. It's the only thing, because he made a way and invited everybody into it. In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter in. Have confidence to enter in. You have it. You should have it at least. Come before God. Don't let anything hold you back. It says to enter into the most holy place. And I talked about that earlier. Because you do that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, by the blood of Jesus. It's covered all of your sin. It says in verse 20, by a new and living way that was opened up through us, through the curtain, and that is Christ's body. And since we have this great high priest, Jesus himself, of the house of God, let us draw near to God. We draw near to God. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't run away. We run away. Positionally, we are the ones that change. He doesn't. And so we draw back near to God because he made a way for us to do it. So let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Hebrews 10, verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that our faith gives us. Because we've had our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience, and our bodies have been washed pure with water. So a way has been made. Jesus made a way where there was no other way, so you can come with confidence and boldness and assurance. You don't have to drag in your guilty conscience. You can just let that thing drop. That's the enemy. That's not God. And you can come before him. He made a way if we just allow him to, if we just walk in that way. So now we're going on to the practical. Okay, so come near him with a sincere heart. Really want to hear what he has to say. Otherwise, you're not going to hear it. It's just a reality. It's sort of practical too. But it's a spiritual thing. You got to have faith that Jesus really did cleanse you from all your guilt, all your sin, all your shame. He really did cleanse you from all that stuff. You don't have to carry it anymore. That you can come before the holy presence of God with boldness and confidence and assurance. That there's nothing that separates you. You've got to have that kind of undivided heart to hear the voice of God. And the only reason I went into the spiritual before just the practice is I really feel like that trips up a lot of us. We look at our Heavenly Father the way that our earthly father treated us. He's not waiting to cast lightning bolts at you and just rub your face in your sin every chance he gets. That's not who he is. He loves you, and he wants to move you forward from all that past. Okay, practical. So now we look back to the example of young Samuel, found in 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you want to read through it, you can. I summarized it just for time's sake. We learned how his life was lived in an atmosphere of worship. He lay before the presence of God, and that's where he heard the voice of God, in the presence. Now, Samuel had to physically go there. You physically have it in you. You carry the presence of God with you. So you can hear the voice of God all the time, anytime, any place, anytime, anywhere. So here are some of the simple tips for discerning the voice of God. First of all, when you're first starting, set apart a place and a time away from distractions. We call that an altar. That's what you were challenged with last week. We already started into the practical. When you're first learning how to discern the voice of God, you got to get away from all the other voices as much as you can. Because life is hectic, life is busy, and you have thousands of voices that you hear. God's one of them. So just in a practical sense, an easy way to discern his voice is to get away from all the others. And sometimes this is not just physical. Sometimes this is just as much mental as it is physical. You know, it's almost like, Seth knows this full aware, you know, when you run cabling, a lot of times there's several pairs of cables that are running that. Sometimes you got to, like, strip off the insulation, like, whoa, there's all these voices in my head, you know. Okay, well, this one, okay, red and white, it's that. This one, you know, white and orange, it's that. And you got to kind of separate them out until finally you're left with, oh, it's God and me, you know. That can take some time when you're first learning to hear the voice of God. And it's funny because we don't even realize all the voices running through our minds until you really stop and think about it. And as soon as you hear a thought, stop, take it captive. Okay, who was that? Oh, okay, well, we get rid of that. That was mom, you know, that was my wife, is, you know, whatever. You know, until you hear, okay, that's the voice of God. I've been hearing it the whole time, just mixed in with all these other voices. But there's something about getting away from those distractions because it shows God that you care. And trust me, your heart, you may think it's undivided, just try this. Try it. Be like, okay, this Wednesday after work or after school or whatever, okay, it's just me and God in my bedroom. And watch and see what happens, how divided your life really is and everything that tries to rise up against it and stop it from happening, right? But this could be anywhere. It could be a room in your house. It could be here at the church. We've got the prayer room, which is a good place for just getting away from everything, you know. It could be your car on the ride home. Becky had mentioned that's her time with God. It could be a stroll through the woods. It could be soaking in the tub. It could be whatever. It could be sitting on the toilet. I've heard the voice of God there many times because it's just where I'm undistracted, you know. Practically speaking, an altar can be anytime, any place, anywhere. It is where you are least distracted and most attuned to the voice of God. Jesus, he would wake up early and he would even leave behind crowds of people. He's in the middle of ministering and all of a sudden he would just up and leave and get by himself with his heavenly Father. Now if God in the flesh has to do that to get away from the distractions of life, how much more do we need to do that? Jesus himself would do it. I'm not a morning person. I'll stay up till 4 in the morning. Don't try to wake me up at 4 in the morning except for the first day of deer, you know? I mean, it is what it is, right? But it was through relationship that Jesus himself found acceptance, assurance. He found his direction. He found his strength. He found success. He found wisdom. He found the way out in the middle of temptation and weakness and opposition. The only reason he was successful as a man, fully God, the only reason he was successful is because he would take time to get alone with the Heavenly Father. And then he would say things like, well, the reason I'm successful is because I only do what I see the Father doing. It was through relationship that he had success. How can we expect to be successful in our walk with God, doing it differently than Jesus did? If he had to get away from distractions, how much more do we need to? This is a way also to show God our sincerity and eagerness and willingness to hear his voice. It shows that you value it. It's no different than a date night with your spouse. You show that you value relational time with them. When you set aside all the other busyness and you just focus one-on-one, that's really what an altar is. It's like a date night with God, you know? It's getting away from everything else and showing him that you care, that you want to hear his voice, that you want to live out your life to its fullest, and you know that he's the only one who can source everything. Secondly, second practical step, once you've done that, create an atmosphere of worship. Now, this doesn't have to be music. Music is just one expression of worship among countless thousands, millions of others. True and proper worship, according to the Word of God, it's either Hebrews or Romans chapter 12, I always get the two confused, is simply humbling ourselves and exalting God. It's a lifestyle with countless ways to express, but when you want to hear the voice of God, first of all, get away from distraction. Second of all, create an atmosphere of worship. And we do this not necessarily by singing or whatever. If you do, that's your thing. That's fine. But true worship is humbling ourselves, exalting him. When you come into that place, that altar with him, don't make it about you. Make it about him. There's a time and a place, and God wants to hear all about your crazy, chaotic life. He wants to. He loves to hear about it. But I'm not going to hear Becky's voice if I sit down at the dinner table and I'm just like, you ever do that with your wife? And you're like, something really important happened to me today, and we really need to talk about it. And I'm waiting for you to get everything out. But, you know, I think that's how God feels with us so often. He's like, if I could talk for a minute, I actually have the solution for that. I actually know what's happening there, and I can help you through that, right? But we're just like, amen, and gone, right? You know? Meanwhile, God's... That's interesting. This seems like kind of gross, but over and over again in the Old Testament, God would tell his people that they were committing adultery. They were cheating on him. How often would he feel that way? Used and abused, and we still do it today, don't we? God, do all these things for me. Amen. And then you leave. You know? God's like, where's my cuddle time? You know, like, am I just a big cosmic gumball machine? Am I just good for what I can do for you? Don't you think I actually want to spend some time with you? I actually care about you? Want to, you know, have a relationship here? I mean, hello! Relationship! I kind of did a big thing in history to make that possible. I value it that much. I sacrificed my own son so that you could be my son or daughter. He cares about relationship. Yeah, he cares about all those things happening in your life too. But in this time, if you just want to hear the voice of God, don't go into it telling him everything about you and what's going on. Go into it and just give him some worship. Thank him for who he is, for what he has done for you in the past. Make it about him. Brag on him. That's praise. Praise is just bragging on him for, if anything else, just who he is. All the things that you know about him. It's humbling yourself and it's exalting him. That's literally worship. Literally, biblically, in the Hebrew, it is just to bow down. You're bowing yourself down, you're exalting him. So create an atmosphere of worship. Don't make it about you, make it about him. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear what you have to say. I care about you, God. I love you and I care about you. And I just can't wait, you know, for this time together with you. During this purpose time, we come to build relationship and to listen, not to make a bunch of requests to get what we need. Next, what Samuel did, because Samuel did all these things. Next, he lay still in the presence of God. This is radically different and countercultural for us today. There is no such thing about quiet time. You know, how many people are laying in their beds at night waiting to get rest, and they're like, you fall asleep and smack yourself in the face of your phone because you're playing, I don't know what even it is anymore, Candy Crush it used to be, or whatever these young kids play these days, you know. Or you're already sitting on Facebook looking through your newsfeed, you know. Like, we do not value just being. We do not value just being quiet and just being still. No phone, no distraction, no anything else. It'll literally drive you nuts. You can kind of feel it. Like after worship, sometimes there's that moment of like quietness here. It's driving me nuts. I'm like, I got to get up and say something. We got to move on. And God's like, I just want to hang out with you. I just want to be with you. We don't have to do anything. You remember that early in your relationship with people that you date or whatnot? Just being with them was enough. Didn't matter what you did. Becky and I, back when gas was 80 cents a gallon, we just drove all the time everywhere. We just liked being together. Might pull over every now and then, but, you know, we just enjoyed being together. I'm going to hear about this for a long time. I'm sorry. You know what, though? I know this sounds kind of gross and off topic. I honestly think God is speaking through it. That's what he wants with us. He wants to date you. He wants to court you. He wants to have intimate times with you. I don't know if that's... I'm going to at least justify myself that way. Isn't that what we do? He wants that. He values time with you that much. So when you want to hear the voice of God, get away from distractions, make it about him, create an atmosphere of worship, and then just be still. Right? Like the psalm says, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still and know him. Don't expect him to be doing something or moving or, you know, granting requests. Just value time with him. He's the God of all the universe. He spoke and created everything. He just wants to hang out with you. I mean, that should be enough for us, right? To value and to desire just being still. Literally, physically, when Samuel heard the voice of God, he was just laying there on the floor. It was late at night. All the worshipers had gone home. They were just waiting for the candle to go out in the temple. And Samuel was just laying there in the presence of God. Literally, he was right before the Ark of the Covenant. He was in the presence of God, and that's where God spoke to him. Not in the middle of the busy, you know, day, not in the middle of while he was serving God. That's what he did his whole life. God didn't speak to him while he was serving and while he was doing it, while he was busy. God waited until it was just him and Samuel. Because remember, Eli was asleep on his lazy boy. Literally, this is the case. And that is when God chose to speak to Samuel. I think God is just waiting on you to do the same. Just lay before his presence. Just be still before him. And just get to know who he is, right? You're his sheep, you hear his voice, and Jesus doesn't lie about it. He is speaking, but we need to learn to discern it and to recognize it. Far too often, for my own self, when I was learning how to hear the voice of God, I would discount it. I would think it's my own imagination. I'm just imagining things. I'm just thinking things. I'm just thinking, you know, hearing things in my mind. When in reality, it was the voice of God. And so once you're in this place and your mind starts running, you'll be able to tell if it's some distraction or if it's God. God speaks to you internally, right? He filled you with the Holy Spirit. You know, I often didn't consider that it was the voice of God. I just thought it was myself until I started testing it. You know, then the next thing you know, when you're standing in line waiting for somebody and you get this weird thought about, you know, the cashier, test it. Hey, so how's your psychology class going? Oh man, I'm really struggling with it right now. You know, I think Becky was with me that day. You know, I was like, how'd you know? It's going to sound freaky, but just God kind of told me about it, you know? I thought it was my imagination. I thought I was just dreaming things. It was God speaking. It's God speaking internally. That's what makes it hard to discern sometimes. So when you're laying still and all of a sudden things start coming to you, trust that it's the voice of God. And test it to see if it's the voice of God. What you'll realize is that you'd been hearing God's voice all these years. All this time, and you didn't know it. You just thought it was you. You just thought it was your own imagination. You just thought it was your own thinking. You know, when all this time, that was God's voice inside your head. You were hearing him. And it's an exciting time then. And I'm going to skip that because I talked about how God chose to infill us with the Holy Spirit. So that's how he speaks. More so through like gut feelings and impressions than audible voices and mountains on smoke and fire, you know. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. So more often than not, it's just a gut feeling. It's just an impression. It's just a thought. It's just a vision. It's not your imagination. It's the voice of God. And he's just speaking to you how he speaks to you. As Jeremiah was beginning his prophetic ministry, he was beginning to learn how to hear the voice of God. And this is the conversation that God had with him. Sorry, I didn't get to that point yet. Anyways, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, it says, the word of God came to me and asked, what do you see, Jeremiah? I replied, I see the branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you've seen correctly. because I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled. And then the word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a boiling pot, and it's tilting toward us from the north. And then the Lord said to me, and he began to explain it again. And I love this. This has happened to me before, and I know somebody else had given testimony about that. When God first starts speaking to you, rather, I keep saying that, it's not true. God's always speaking to you. When you first set your heart and discern and recognize and realize that that's the voice of God, he'll start speaking to you in ways. Driving past this tree, same routine, same thing you've always done, and next thing you know, it'll catch your attention. Like, oh, I never noticed that before, you know? And then as soon as you notice it, you'll hear the voice of God, and he'll say something about that. It's no different what Jeremiah just did here. You know, I see an almond tree. Well, I'm looking to see my words always fulfilled. None of us would have ever connected those two. That's a pretty vivid imagination. Or it's God speaking to you. It's something symbolic. It's something that you recognize. You know, but all of a sudden it'll be as if though you are like living for the very first time. You'll start hearing God's voice in a way that you've never seen it before and heard it before. You know, because after you get used to recognizing it in those quiet alone times, you'll start recognizing it all the time. You'll start recognizing it in your everyday life. You'll run into a situation at school or work or home, and it had frustrated you for so long, and all of a sudden you just hear this voice of, oh, I never thought about doing it that way before. You know, and then all of a sudden solutions will start coming and answers will start coming. All of a sudden you'll start praying without ceasing. You will literally be conversing with God. You just have conversations all through your day, and you're not crazy. Just internally, you're talking with God. And you're realizing that he really does care about my everyday life. He really does have answers and solutions. He really does guide and direct. As you see it happening in the New Testament, right? We listen for his voice. When you learn to do it in the quietness and stillness of that altar where there's no other distractions, once you recognize it, it's like I talked about last week. You can be in a crowded room full of people talking, but when your friend comes in, you recognize it and you listen for it. All those other voices are just background noise. But once you get to know one of those voices, all of a sudden you pick it out. You recognize it. You discern it. Right? You understand what I mean? All of a sudden, you'll start hearing the voice of God in your everyday life. And you'll realize that it had always been there. It was just always background noise before. It was always just me thinking and me imagining. And all of a sudden, you'll realize just how much God cares and how exciting it is to live life in the presence of God. How addictive it is, right? When he tells you something, you just step out in faith and boom, there, you know, it's awesome. And I also want to encourage you to consider also recording what you hear. This is something that I didn't do early on in my walk with God, but I started doing. And of course, I got busy and got away from doing it. But I can't tell you how often God would give me a dream or a vision, because that's more often how he speaks with me about it, you know, things. Or he would give me, you know, I'd have a word from God, and I'd write it down. And then a couple of years later, something would happen in my real life. Like, wait a second. I remember something about that. I'd go back through my journal. Well, not go back through my journal. It's a Word document. There it was. God had spoken to me about something that was going to happen in my life years ago. I'd forgotten all about it. It's exciting. It's addictive. It's incredible to know that not only does God speak to you for here and now, he already has gone ahead of you. He knows what's coming, and he will give you wisdom so that when that time comes, you'll know how to handle the situation. It's awesome to have that kind of relationship with him. And you have it. You have it already. You just might not be taking advantage of it. You just might not be trained to hear that voice of God. And so that's what we learn to do. We learn to do it by, first of all, just getting away from distractions. We do it by focusing on him, worshiping him. It's all about him. It's his time. And then you'll start hearing him. You'll hear him differently than I hear him. But you'll know it. And if you're not sure about it at first, put it to the test. Becky, it was probably awkward for her walking around with me out in public whenever I was first learning how to hear the voice of God. I'd get words of knowledge about people all around me, you know, things I shouldn't know, things sometimes I didn't want to know, you know. I just start testing it. Excuse me, you know, can I pray with, you know, and then things started to happen. Okay, well, because it was funny. It was probably funny for the first couple of people because I'm like, you know what? Okay, if God showed me that this is, you know, that your left knee is hurting, you know, badly, I think God wants to do something about that. Let's pray together. Like, I'm figuring it out with this complete stranger who's probably never had an encounter like that before. But you pray, and the next thing you know, it's not hurting anymore. And they're healed. You know, a woman in sheets and containing just had some kind of surgery in her throat. Boom. She could talk all of a sudden, and she was miming my order to me before. You know, like, miracles start happening in your everyday life out and about. Why? Just because you're hearing the voice of God. If you weren't hearing it, if you weren't discerning it, you would have missed those opportunities. And it makes you wonder, how long did I live my life and not realize it, that was God's voice? And it gives you the boldness to start stepping out more too. Now, I'm not saying that that's what God's going to have you do. That's me. Not everybody is me. You know, God's going to give you something to do. It may just be to just send somebody a card of encouragement. It may be just to shoot them a text. It may, but God's going to start speaking to you. And the next thing you know, you're going to see the miraculous happen in your life. You're going to see that I am a part of this body. I do serve a purpose. I do have a role here. It's awesome, you know? I mean, it's just, it's exciting. It's so exciting. You're going to love it. Okay. So, what do you do if you do all these things, and you hear nothing? And you're sitting there, and like, okay, I'm just bored. I'm not hearing a thing. It happened to me many times before. I want to encourage you not to be discouraged. Don't get down about it. You're his sheep. You hear his voice. Just keep pressing in. Keep pressing on. You're going to learn to discern it. He's speaking to you. You just haven't figured out how to really, you know, set it apart and to hear it yet. Continue on throughout your day. I want to encourage you. If you're sitting there and you're hearing nothing and you're starting to get angry, just get up. Leave that place. Go throughout the course of your normal day. But be like, okay, I'm going to do this again tomorrow. Don't let your heart get embittered. Don't let the enemy have a foothold in your life, you know, about hearing the voice of God, because he'll start telling you that you're not really saved. You don't really know him. Who do you think you are? Why would God want to talk to you? Like, you know, so don't give the enemy the chance to speak those things to you. If you're getting frustrated and you're not hearing anything, that's okay. Just get up and go on about your normal day. But keep pressing in. Keep doing it. You're going to hear. And the funny thing is, those times when I felt like that, it was almost like a couple of minutes after I walked away that then I heard God's voice. You know, I can't explain it, but it's just the way it happened. But I want to encourage you to eagerly look forward to that time. Don't get disgruntled about that time. Start looking forward to it. Let your hopes rise up. Let your faith rise up. And every time that you set apart that altar time to just quietly listen for God, get more and more and more excited and eager about it. Have more and more of a desire to hear it. Be like, you know what? Enemy, you're not going to stop me. You're not going to get me down. You're not going to discourage me. I'm a sheep. I hear his voice. And I'm going to learn to discern this thing. After all, those hopes that you build up in your life, they're not false hopes. You're hoping in what Jesus said would happen. So it's going to happen. His word never fails. Just keep pressing on. Keep pressing in until it happens. All of us are doing that with something in their life. I'm still doing it for my healing from diabetes, right? I still firmly believe it and it's going to happen. I thought it happened the other day, you know. But when it doesn't happen, he's still my healer. He's still my provider. I just got to trust in his timing and keep doing what I got to do until it happens. But don't get discouraged. Don't start walking in doubt and disbelief, because doubt and disbelief is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you go into that altar time and you're like, I can't hear God's voice, you just shot yourself in the foot. You might as well just not even do it. But if you go into it with high hopes, with eager expectation, you're going to hear it. You're going to discern it. And for those people who stick it out and persevere and keep pressing in, I believe it's going to be like a dam breaks, you know? Like it's building up and it's building up and it's building up. And man, when it lets loose, people around you better watch out, you know? It's just one of those things. You're his sheep. You will hear the voice of the good shepherd, Jesus himself. And so that's what I encourage you. It's not that God isn't speaking, and I know those are very simple, practical things, but it's really the reality. You were created by him, and you hear the voice of God in a way that no one else does. And Marie's not here. God speaks to her through cartoons all the time, you know? Whatever your thing is, he will use that. He will use that to speak to you because he's a creative God who loves you, who has good, good things that he wants to share with you. The number one most practical thing that we need to get right is, do we want to hear his voice? Are we going to come to him half-heartedly? That's a spiritual way of saying the other thing I'm not going to say to you in public, you know? Are you going to come to him half-hearted? Are you going to come to him with your whole heart? Are you going to come to him really wanting to hear what he has to say? Because if you do, you're going to hear his voice. And it's going to be so awesome. It's going to change your life. It's going to change your relationship with him. You're going to be so close to him. You're going to literally experience living one-on-one with him the way that he desired it to be. I mean, he cared about it this much. He cared about it that much to have that level of relationship and intimacy with you. He wants to just hang out with you and be a part of your everyday life. But will we let him? Will we listen to him? Will we let him in? He stands at the door knocking. Will we let him in? I mean, there are all these biblical analogies. So this morning, let's just kind of come together in prayer and tell him, yes, I want that. I desire that. I want to hear your voice. And I know you're speaking to me. Help me to discern it, right? You know, that's what we want to pray and believe. So if you came in here this morning and you're expecting some massive spiritual thing to happen, I want to encourage you, it's already happened in your life. The moment you put your faith in Christ, it happened. He adopted you into his family. You are his sheep. You hear his voice. Now the fun part is learning to discern it, learning to understand it, learning to comprehend it. We have eyes. Let's start seeing. We have ears. Let's start perceiving, right? It's going to be a good, good, good start to something amazing in your life, just hearing his voice. So, Jesus, we thank you so much for making a way where there was no other way for me to be completely forgiven. Jesus, help me to break off all areas of shame and sin and guilt and condemnation, all these things that I heap on myself, Jesus. They're not from you. Lord, help me to come boldly before you, confident that I hear your voice. And Jesus, help me to discern it. Help me to truly hear it. And help me to walk out what you share with me. Jesus, forgive me for not setting apart places and times to meet with you, for not really valuing my relationship with you that much. Forgive me for always having huge expectations for you to do stuff for me, and not equally or even more so valuing just being with you. Jesus, from this day forward, help me to hear your voice. Help me to recognize it. Help me to discern it. I want to hear your voice. I don't want to have a divided heart anymore. I want to have a heart that is fully yours. So help me, Jesus, to have the strength to get rid of all distractions and to just spend that time with you. Help me to value it and help me to make it a practice from this day forward, just living life in your presence. Thank you for the adventures that you have planned ahead of us. In your name, amen.